Of course, nobody else ran the third like that. Everybody got an outline? Everybody got an outline? If you do, raise your hand. If you don't have an outline, raise your hand. Yes, ma'am, we got plenty. We got a limited supply. There you go. There you go. Okay. We're going to diffuse worry. How many would like to diffuse worry? You know, when you get a bomb, sometimes you cannot take the bomb out of your presence. Did you know that? Sometimes taking a bomb out of your presence can cause a big problem. So instead of taking the bomb out of your presence, you diffuse it. There's some guys in Afghanistan wear all those great big old suits, and they got those great little big everything explosion-proof suits on. They go in, and they, with precision, diffuse the bomb. After it's diffused, sometimes because of its location, it has to stay in their presence. Other times, they can take it out of their presence. But anyway about it, whether it's in their presence or out of their presence, they don't have to worry about it anymore. Well, you know what? We can diffuse worry. Worry can still be in our presence. People around us can still be worrying. But we can still know that God's got it under control. Amen? God's got it under control. So here we go. We're going to, you know, Sunday night I talked about what are you looking at? Well, I just kept it up there. What you're looking at and diffuse the worry. Now, this kind of breaks away from the track I was going on with worry, but the Lord just kept putting this in my heart. So I went ahead and said, okay, Lord, we'll hit the other one. Last week we did, is worry a sin? And worry the joy stealer. Tonight we're going to talk about diffusing worry. And next week we're going to talk about just eliminating worry. How would you like to eliminate? Just eliminate it. Right now we're diffusing something that's already there, but if we eliminate it, it's not even going to be in the way, is it? Amen. So here we go. You got it right here written on your paper. One of the verses, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9-11. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. These people, some of these are already in captivity. Some are coming out. Some are going in. So you've got kind of a revolving door of captivity going on here. And now he's saying, listen, I want y'all to be happy. I want y'all to be full of joy. I want y'all to be, let's take the word happiness away from it. Just say joy. Because happiness depends on happenings. Joy depends on a relationship. God wants us to have joy, which goes beyond any happenings. Amen? So remember, there's a revolving door of captivity. I mean, some are going in, some are going out. Some go in and stay in. Some come out and stay out. And so all this is going on around them. And it says, Judah, I want you to lift up your heads. Don't be afraid. Because God is bringing some good tidings. It's going to bring you great joy. Remember what the angels told them when they were talking about the birth of Jesus? I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy. Here it is. So now, behold, the Lord will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for them. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your authority. I ask you right now, Lord, to let your word sink in our hearts. Help us to understand, Lord, that you're here and that you desire for us to diffuse the worry that's in our life. To diffuse it and move it out of the way so that we can continue to walk and talk in your power and in your authority. We know, God, that we cannot do this alone. We can't do it by ourselves. But with you, Lord, all things are possible. Right now, in the name of Jesus, help us to see, to know, to understand, and we'll give you all the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Now, how many knows that one of the major causes of stress is worry? You cannot avoid some things. You cannot avoid work. You cannot avoid family problems. You cannot avoid stress in many different ways. You cannot avoid marital stress. You cannot avoid parental stress. You cannot avoid employment stress is all part of life. Stress is a part of life. 700 psychologists met in New York City to have a stress conference, and at the end of 1 week of talking about stress, they decided to come to this answer: life is stress. Learn to deal with it. Amen? Life is stress. Learn to deal with it. So the major cause of stress in our life is worrying about the things that are happening around us. Remember, there's some things you can do something about, there's some things you can do absolutely nothing about. But last week we talked about the definition of stress. And of course, Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The word careful means worry. It means to be anxious, distracted, to have a divided mind. Divided mind meaning one side of my mind is trying to be constructive and one side of my mind is being destructive. I'm going to tell you a few more words for worry next week. I don't want to get into it now, but worry can keep us stuck in a ditch of doubt and therefore it's displeasing to God. So here it is, worry. Here's the most common worries. I'm putting it in four things. Most common worries, finances. Every time I buy a gas pump, I hear cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Especially when I remember I could fill up my motorcycle and ride it all day for 25 cents. I'm not that old either. 25 cents. I remember buying a Pepsi and a moon pie for 25 cents. It was back in the early 70s. Early 70s, the good generation, back in the early 70s. I remember, you know, when I quit smoking, it was 33 years ago when I quit smoking, and there was two reasons why I quit smoking. Number one, I had a child coming, but number two, I got upset because it got higher than 30 cent a pack. Wow. I said, I ain't paying 30 cent a pack for some cigarettes. I look up there and when I see them, I just get crazy. I see people paying for one pack what I used to pay for a whole card. Okay. And so, but still, they get away from that one though. But I was going to say is though, finances. Number two, job stress. We all have job stress. How many here has a job that has absolutely no stress? Raise your hand and we'll all go apply. Oh, retirement? That's even got stress. Yes, housework is stress. That's right. Jobs, stress. Relationships, even the best of relationships have stress. And if you don't have stress, I hear people tell me all the time, we never argue, we never have a time where we don't see eye to eye. I tell them, get ready because you're getting ready to have an explosion. And when it takes place, it's not going to be pretty. Because if you never have any conflict whatsoever, no disagreements whatsoever, one person is keeping their mouth shut. And one day that mouth's going to open up. And the person that's not used to you opening your mouth is going to go, whoa, where'd that come from? My favorite one was Archie Bunker and Edith. Archie, what you want, Archie? And then when she's with it to change of life, she went crazy on him. And I remember they said to try to get in his mind, she's going through the change of life. He said, okay, I get it. So he looks over at Edith, says, I'm so sorry. I tell you what, change, you got 5 minutes. And then finally he looked over at her trying to be sweet and said, would you like a sandwich? She said, oh, Archie, I'd love a sandwich. He said, well, while you're making me one, make you one too. Relationships. Kids. It never stops with kids. I mean, my oldest is 33. And I still say a constructive concern for him all the time. All the way down to Bethany, who's 23. So there's five between 23 and 33. And here's the stress level between those. It just keeps going up and down. Depends on what day it is. Amen. And then your health. I've noticed as the weather's changed this time, it's done something different than it's ever done before. And I've noticed not just me, I've noticed other people too. And I'm not sure what it is, if there's some kind of something in the air, you know, maybe ISIS has shot something with it. I have no idea. But something's different. You know, I'm kidding about ISIS. Y'all are going to say, the pastor said ISIS is shooting us with something. All right. Please don't go tell people I said that. Yeah. So look. So there's three problems with worry. Here, I'm gonna make it simple. This is simple, short, sweet, and to the point. There's three problems with worry. All right? Number one, let me just first read this. Matthew 6:25-31 and 34 says, I tell you, do not worry about your life or what you will eat or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air that do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who are you by worrying can add one single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? Do they not labor or spin? Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's not saying don't work. That's not saying sit back and just wait for God to put the worm in your mouth like the mama does to the baby bird. It means that God's going to take care of you as you're working, as you're doing your stuff. Because the Bible also says you don't work, you don't eat. So you got it back. You got to balance it. What I'm saying is don't be afraid, and especially in this day of unemployment, don't be afraid. God's got this. Somebody say God's got this. God's got it. God's got it. You know, I just get blown away that every time, especially one of my kids, especially DC, who's a contractor now. He'll say, Dad, things are looking kind of rough. Things are getting so there's not so much going on. And I'll say, son, you tell me this every time, just for a big breakthrough. And he goes, really? I said, every time. I said, you and I are going to pray for breakthrough. And so we pray for breakthrough, and he calls me a couple days later and says, you ain't going to believe this, Dad. I said, try me. Today he called me. He's already got contracts that he don't know what to do with in Virginia. He gets a call and says, Daddy, I just want a contract down in Cherry Point. I said, God's with you, son. Quit doubting that God's with you. God is with you. He says, okay, Dad. He said, I got to go. Bye. Okay. Three things about worry. Number one, did you know that worry is unhelpful? I heard of somebody that was so worryful. He went in and hired somebody. Asked him, said, how much do you think it would cost to worry? How much that worry cost you an hour? He said, about $20 an hour. He said, okay, went and got somebody and hired him. $20 an hour. You do all the worrying. He really did that. Hired him for $20 an hour. You worry about my problems. I'm going to go ahead and do what I got to do. Worry is unhelpful. Worry never accomplishes anything. That's what he just said. Why are you worrying about your life? What you're going to eat and drink, all this stuff, what you're going to wear? Isn't life more important to God than this? How many has ever worried yourself to an answer? I was watching the Beverly Hillbillies the other day, and they were trying to get a feller for Ellie Mae. And they couldn't figure out how to get a feller for Ellie Mae. So Jed went out, and it showed a big old pile of whittling. He had whittled. He had a whole bunch of sticks. And she came out and said, Jed, what you doing? And he says, I'm whittling for an answer for Ellie Mae. So then Granny goes back in the house and brings a shotgun out. And it says, quit whittling and start shooting. Anyway, I saw that big old pile. I saw that great old big pile from him in whittling, and he still ain't got an answer yet. Some of us, we just keep whittling, worrying, and wondering why it's not happening. Worry does not solve the problem. Worry cannot change the past. It cannot control the future. It can only make us miserable when today. It is unhelpful. It cannot solve the past. It cannot control the future. It only makes us miserable today. God wants us to have a healthy concern. We talked about it last week. A healthy concern. We get focused. We get solution conscious. And God will help us to fix our problems. It's okay to be concerned. Concern says you got good sense. Worry says, I don't know what we're going to do. I have no idea, and God can't handle it. So watch this. I even saw a lady in church one day. The pastor was talking, and he said, God can take care of any problem. And a woman spoke up and said, not this problem. And he said, the Bible says, and she said right in church, it doesn't matter what the Bible says, he can't handle this. And it was the pastor's wife. I about fell out. Next service, she got to apologize. She said, I shouldn't have said that. But it just blew me away when I heard that. One talking and one shooting it down. God can handle anything. Y'all help me out here. God can handle anything. Now I want you to say this. God can handle my needs. Say it with me. God can handle my needs. One more time. God can handle my needs. Praise the Lamb of God. He's not waiting for our government to give him to bail him out. Praise the Lamb of God. God is all hills, the cattle on a thousand hills and the hills thereof. God has what you need. Praise God. Amen. So it's never helpful. Look at somebody and say, you're not helping yourself when you worry. It's like being in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. All right? Number two. Number two, not only unhelpful, it's unreasonable. Worry magnifies the problem. If you get Mighty Army, I think it was Monday morning, I put worry gives problems a big shadow. Worry gives problems a big shadow. You know, I watch these cartoons sometimes, you know, especially the older cartoons. And you see this great old big monster coming in. You find out it's just Jerry. Tom's thinking a big monster's coming after him. It's just Jerry. But the way he's positioned, the light's hitting him, and he's got a great old big shadow. He's scared till he sees him. Well, you know what? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he's with me. He's with me. So look, worry magnifies the problem. It makes mountains out of molehills. It seems like my job as a counselor and my job as a pastor many times is just to get in a situation and just show people how to turn it around so their mountain becomes a molehill instead of a molehill becoming a mountain. That's what I do all the time. It's just, wait a minute, let's look at this. You got a mountain here, but actually this is a molehill. If you look at it in the right way, what you looking at? How you looking at it? I'm looking at God. So look, so it makes mountains out of molehills. Worry makes your problems seem bigger than they really are. To worry about something that you can't change is useless. I would love to be able to play a professional sport, but unless it's checkers, I'm out. I'd love to be able to, every now and then, I think it'd be awesome to be in the NBA and run and jump. And you see Michael Jordan, he takes a hit and he jumps at the foul line. He's all up in the air and his legs are doing this and his tongue's doing this. And he just takes that thing and twists all around. Whoosh. Oh, I'd love to do that at least once. Matter of fact, when the rapture takes place, I pray God lets me stop it and go as I'm being lifted up. Let me go by a basketball court and twist around and throw it down going up to heaven. But you know what? I can worry all day long. Ain't going to happen. I will tell you, when I coached basketball in school, I really coached basketball in school, and I could dunk at that time, but that dunk gone. I mean, I was thinking something the other day. I said, I think I can get close. I couldn't even touch the net. And I said, it's okay. I can dunk some donuts, so yeah. Number three. Not only is it unhelpful, it's not going to help you to worry. It accomplishes nothing. Matter of fact, I want y'all to say it. It's unhelpful. It accomplishes nothing. All right, I want you to say it's unreasonable. Tell it to somebody beside you, too. It magnifies the problem. That's right. So now, and it's unhealthy. The body was not made for worry. Worry can come. Worry can cause ulcers, backaches, headaches, insomnia, all kinds of stuff. You know, I remember telling you about the guy, thought everywhere he went, I thought somebody was talking about him. He couldn't even go to football games because when the teams got in the huddle, he thought they were talking about him. You can't worry about this stuff. It's unnatural. Now, here I want you to see this here. Do you know that worry is unnatural? That's why God keeps telling us not to worry. Worry is unnatural. Watch this. There's no plants and there's no animals that worry. There is a weeping willow. And there's a praying mantis. But it don't say they worry. Amen? No plants or animals, they don't worry. The only thing in creation that worries is people. I had a little dog named Buttons, and it was about that long and about that tall. And it only weighed less than 20 pounds. Linda, when we got married, had that great old big Labrador Retriever mixed with Shetland Pony. That thing weighed 90-something pounds. That big old thing, Rex, come in the house, and Buttons, right to start with it. I was here first. You go where I tell you. And for the first year, Rex only went in one little bitty room like this. And then he went over and he was sleeping in a little room. But every time Rex would start getting in the way, little old Buttons would go, uh-uh. You see, Buttons didn't realize how small she was at all. The funniest thing was, Linda decided, or maybe it was me, one of us decided we were going to save a little time. And I had a runner outside that ran from one side of the yard to the other, and I had it put right by the door so I could open the door, put the runner on the dog, and they could go to the bathroom, come back, and I could take it off the runner and put it up. Well, one day I put Rex on the runner, and Rex ran out just to the edge of the house, and I put Buttons on it. I didn't realize they were switched up. So Rex saw a rabbit or something, and Rex took off. And because they were switched up, when Rex took off, he grabbed Buttons' thing. And Buttons is going, well, this is cool, Dad. Smells good out here. And it's all, she's on my top step going, this is so awesome. Yeah. Woo, woo, woo. And all of a sudden, she gets yanked. And I watched her go in slow motion. I kid you not, I saw it all in slow motion. She was going, help, Dad. Help. And she finally landed. And God looked out for her because I just put out a plastic bowl out there. And she landed on a plastic bowl and it protected her fall. But she didn't realize how small she was. She weren't worrying about that. Why do we get worried about stuff? Why worry? If God said it, believe it. Amen? So now, the old English word for worry means to strangle or to choke. When you start worrying, you start choking yourself. Wouldn't it be silly if people see you walk down the road going, what you doing? I'm choking myself. Don't you think that hurts? It hurts bad. You think you'll pass out pretty soon. Somebody don't do something. I can't do something if you're choking yourself. That's what worry does. We choke ourselves. Kind of silly, isn't it? All right, God, I'm going to pray for you to take care of business. And while you're taking care of business, I'm going to choke myself. Let's see who wins. Do you fix it before I choke myself, or do I get it fixed first? All right. What's God's antidote to worry? Believe that God will take care of you and your situation. Believe that God will take care of you and your situation. You know, Daniel's got some tests coming up. And he's had some pretty, we're not going to talk about what it is yet because he's trying to wait and find out exactly what it is. But the doctor said it weren't such good news. And so Daniel's gone to the doctor and he gets some tests this week. He's already had some tests. He got more tests coming this week. And he asked for prayer Sunday morning. So I could at least say he's under being tested. And so he was talking to me the other day and he said, Dad, I got a test coming back up this week. I said, yeah. I said, you know what, bud? He said, what? I said, I want you to remember something in all this. When you were a year old, God healed you of cystic fibrosis. Healed you of cystic fibrosis. They tried to say you're only in remission several times, but God healed you. They even tried to tell him lately that it was only in remission. At 30 years old, I said, son, don't believe that. He had a truck wreck before he went to Afghanistan. They said his back was broken, his cord was severed. And right there on that table, God healed him. He still couldn't walk for about a month. But still, when they come back, they said, we don't believe it. There's nothing broke. God did it. And then he went to Afghanistan six times, and once his truck got blown up. And he walked away. And so I said, son, if God did all that, this is just another test. And he said, Dad, he said, when am I going to graduate? When am I going to graduate? And I was the bearer of good news. Yeah, never. That's right. When they cover you up with dirt, that's when it ends. So watch. Here's what we're going to talk about now. Believe God's, well, look, Psalm 23, I put the Amplified version here. Y'all know the regular version, I hope. We're in Psalm 23, the first verse. Then we're going to talk about the rest of it. Watch this. The Lord is my shepherd. That word shepherd means to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. Now, we really believe that God's going to take care of us. Do we believe it or are we going to worry? I catch myself worrying. I go, why am I worrying? God's got this. I remember when I quit smoking, it was one of the hardest things I ever did. God was helping me. I know he was, but still, there was times I just wanted it under pressure. And when I was coming back home off a second shift, there was all kinds of stuff. You know, I just wanted it. I wanted it so bad. And I said, I know it's not good. And I would actually, on second shift, would ride home and don't tell anybody, but I think the statute of limitations is gone. But if I had a bad night, I'd stop and get a six-pack and smoke a pack of cigarettes and six-pack on the way home. And of course, I don't do it anymore. Praise God. That's right. Although there was this preacher that was riding down the road, he had a bad, bad time. And so he got him some wine. He's drinking him some wine. The patrolman stops and says, you're kind of moving back and forth there, sir. Can I have your license? He says, oh, Reverend, how you doing, buddy? He says, I'm doing good. He says, I sit in your car. In your cup. He said, that's water. He said, do you mind if I smell it? And taste it? He said, go ahead. So he handed it out to him. And he went, he said, Reverend, this is wine. And the Reverend said, hallelujah, he's done it again. When I was trying to quit smoking, I had to purposely put in my spirit, me, because God had it already there. I kept saying, God has delivered me from this, and I don't have to go back to it. It's not. Matter of fact, I don't even need it anymore. If I just say I can't go back to it, then my body's going to naturally want to go back to it. If you keep saying I can't, you're going to want it. But if you say I just don't need it anymore. I don't need it. I got something better. Wow, it's so awesome. So watch this. I'm going to trust in God for all my needs. God, or David called God his shepherd. What do shepherds do? You just saw it up here in this verse here. We're going to see it in other verses. He provides, he guides, he protects, and he gathers. He provides food, shelter, the basic needs. Psalm 23, 2 and 3 says, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. I did a study on this some time back. Would you remember? If a sheep, if the water is running, the sheep will not eat. The sheep is afraid of running water. And so in order for those sheep to eat, first he finds the green pasture, stuff that's not poisoned. And then he finds, if he has to, what he does, a good shepherd, when the brook's still running, the good shepherd will take rocks and he will make a little dam to stop the water from running. He stops it. and then the sheep will drink. When the water's running, he won't get close to it. So God, even when there's stuff in your life that's so bad, he'll come along while the waters are running rough, and he'll build a little dam there. You know, I heard a story today about barracudas and I can't think of the other fish right now, sea mullet, or one of the mullets, mackerel. A barracuda is a natural enemy to the mackerel, the Spanish mackerel. And so they took a big fish tank. And there was this big fish tank. Of course, the barracuda was trying to get the Spanish mackerel, so they inserted a glass wall. And put a glass wall in there. That barracuda kept hitting that glass wall trying to get to that Spanish mackerel. Eventually, the barracuda realized he couldn't get to it. And so he quit even trying. And then, to finish the experiment, they pulled the glass up without them knowing it. And the barracuda never struck at that Spanish mackerel again. Amen. I told you that to tell you this. You can see him coming at you. I remember I was getting ready to go preach somewhere, and D.C. was a little bitty thing. And D.C., yeah, I think he's about 3 years old, 4 years old, and we had a window open, and we had a screen window, and a big old bumblebee came and landed on it. He's going, and D.C. goes, "Daddy, there's a bumblebee." And I said, "Son, it's okay." And the bumblebee went, and all DC said was, "He says he's coming to get me, Dad." I didn't understand that kind of talk. I said, "DC, it's okay." He said, "No, Dad, he says he's coming." And I said, "Son, look between us. There is a screen between us. You can see him. He can see you, but he cannot touch you." I said, "Watch this, son." I went to the screen and went, pop. He flew off somewhere. And I said, "See, son, God's got a screen in between you and the devil. He can only do so much to you without God letting down the screen, Job. The hedge. Why worry? What's it going to do? God provides food, shelter, the basic needs." Psalm 23:2-3, "He restoreth my soul." You heard me tell about that? When sheep get eaten and they get kind of while they're eating. And if it rains especially, their wool will get wet. And as their wool gets wet and they're eating and they get kind of blubbed up, sound like they've been to homecoming, sheep homecoming. Ah ha ha ha. They roll over and their feet go up. And when their feet go up, gas is emitted inside of them, and they can't turn over, and they will literally explode. And so the shepherd comes along and turns them over and puts them back on their feet. You know what that's called? Restoring their soul. That's awesome. How many times has God seen you rolled over and come and picked you back up and set you back on a solid rock? So look, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." He sees the path I'm going down, and he'll make sure that I'm not going down something where there's wolves, where if there is wolves and stuff, he's there to protect me. He's there to help me. So he provides. And Isaiah 40:11, which is our beginning scripture, even says it right there. It says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd." I like that word "feed." That word "feed" means to tend the flock, but it also means to associate as a friend. Wow, that's awesome. We got a friend taking care of it. And so here, he provides and he guides. He leads you when you don't even know the path. 3 and 4 tells us, it says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The valley of the shadow of death was a real narrow passageway they had to go through in the mountains. And once you got in there, as only certain times during the day they even had any sunshine. But mainly what you saw was shadows. And you think about constantly shadows. You see the shadows, you think that something's coming at you, or you're going to fall off the cliff. But his rod and his staff is there to guide them and to help them through the hardest parts of their life. Why are we worrying? He protects us against our enemies. It says in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and staff. Of course, the staff has got a hook. So if the lamb gets out of the way, he can put that hook around that lamb's neck and pull it back. And the rod, he can throw it, and hit the enemy as it's coming. The rod would have nails in it or have other things in it, and he could take that thing and he could throw it, and it was so good at it, something coming to his sheep, he could protect it. You know what our rod and staff is? So why am I going to look at the problem when I can look at this? All right, so we're almost through. Don't worry, we're almost through. I like this too. The word lead in Isaiah chapter 40 and 11, that word lead means to guide, to lead. It also means to carry. There's times where I couldn't even walk spiritually. God carried me. Isn't that awesome? It also means to present light. And it means to protect, to sustain, to carry, to guide, to lead. Wow. So he guides, he protects against the enemy, and he gathers. When we go in the wrong direction, again, it says in Isaiah chapter 40, how many's ever gone in the wrong direction? At least once. The Bible says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs under his arm. He will carry them in his bosom, and he will gently lead those that have their young. Wow. It's so awesome to be a Christian. There's absolutely no other religion in the world that's like Christianity. There's no other religious leader. I was listening this morning to there was somebody was trying to talk against Jesus, that he even existed. And so they started going down the line with Roman historians and, of course, Josephus and Roman historians and Roman actors and people around that area that had nothing to do with religion whatsoever. And by the time they took all the things they wrote about Jesus from people, secular writers back in that day and historians, and I reckon like newspapers back in that day, if you put it all together, it talked about the virgin birth, and it talked about he was despised and rejected, that Pontius Pilate would turn him back over, and they went ahead and crucified him, and they even talked about his resurrection. It talked about you could take our statements of faith, and just without having the Bible whatsoever, just going by secular writing back in that day, and it talked all this stuff about Jesus. Oh, man, it was one of the most interesting things to see. God has got this. Somebody say God's got this. Say it again. I want to hear you. God's got it. That's right. Finally, here's a good one. Not only is worry unhelpful, it doesn't accomplish anything. Not only is it unreasonable, it magnifies the problem. Not only is it unhealthy, the body's not made for worry. But finally, the worry is unnecessary if Jesus is your shepherd. Think about your children when they were coming up. They might not have got what they wanted, but they got what they needed, didn't they? I think about times I tell DC and Daniel, and I tell them back then, they go, I'm going to die if I don't have it. And I said, son, I'll preach your funeral. Oh, that was good, Father. Oh, you were there. You saw. Within reason. That's right. They always got what they got what they needed, even if it's what they wanted. They might have wanted the $50 glove, and I got them a $25 glove. They wanted the $100 shoes, and I got them the $40 shoes. So I said, I'm going to get you what you need for what you're going to play. And I remember distinctly, this is so awesome, and this is so wild. I was coaching. I coached football, basketball, and baseball when I was at Benson. I actually coached them in the school. And so I'm coaching this stuff at school, and I'm coaching football, and Daniel's talking to some of the guys around him. These guys that are around him, their daddies own businesses. And so because their daddies own businesses, Their daddies had them the finest stuff. I'd go to Walmart and get the Walmart stuff. And they would take them to some of these big sports stores and pay two and three times more than what I paid for it. So Daniel's wearing Nike shoes, very nice. He's got a Rawlings glove, very nice. He's got the same uniform they've got. Maybe the baseballs I bought came from, they're Rawlings, but they come from Walmart. They didn't come from this place. It cost twice as much, had the same name on it. And so Daniel's sitting there, and I was coaching the team. And all these youngins that their daddy were a businessman that put all the money in all these teams. Daniel looked over at what they were wearing and said, man, y'all guys got it made. And they said, Daniel, what you talking about? I said, y'all guys got it made. Said, y'all got the best money can buy. And they said, no, we don't. Said, you got it made. And Daniel said, and Daniel had been having a hard time up to this point. This was Daniel's come to Jesus meeting. And they told Daniel, said, no, Daniel, we would trade everything. We had to have what you had. And Daniel said, you want the cheap stuff? They said, your stuff's not cheap. You got good stuff. They said, well, you want this versus what you got? They said, no, our daddies are too busy for us. Your daddy coaches the team. They said, we give everything we had to have our daddy down here. And I never saw their daddies except for game days, and not every game day. You know, so we got our father. We might not have exactly everything we want, how we want it. How many of you here like to have a brand new Corvette? Well, if somebody gave it to me, I might want it. Yeah, I traded for. I would get rid of it too. I was just trying to put out a point there. You know what? I can't get into things. You know, that's why they wear riding gloves in Corvettes, because when you fall out of it, you can hit your hands on. Your hands will get hurt. What I'm trying to say is, though, God takes care of us, and He knows what we need. Amen. All right. So finally, words unnecessary. Jesus Shepherd. Watch this. I reckon I had it, I must have backed up and took it out again. Here it goes. Anytime you worry or your worry consumes you, so be your actions are saying, look carefully. Anytime worry consumes you, I'm not talking about constructive concern. Remember we talked about last week, constructive concern helps you solve problems. Constructive concern helps you get in the Bible and figure out how to get this stuff taken care of. Constructive concern. We're not talking about constructive concern. We're talking about useless worry. Anytime your worry consumes you, your actions are saying God is not enough. Watch this. Anytime worry consumes you to the point that it shuts you down, that it keeps you in the ditch of doubt, and it keeps you focusing on past mistakes and the future, you cannot even do what you got to do right now. Watch this. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what my actions are saying. I'm not sure He can. I'm not sure He's big enough. I'm not sure He's even there. Now, I may be the only one in here that's ever said that. I have said it. Call me a heathen. I've said it. That there was a time that I really had been attacked really hard by somebody spiritually. And I know everybody says it in prison, we're innocent, but I was the innocent party this time. There was two other guys fighting, and I was the one who got in the middle, and so they started using me as the pawn. And I got so upset, I almost left not only the ministry, I almost left the church. And I'm not talking about the church of God, I'm talking about the church. And I told my wife, I was just crying, cried myself to sleep every night. And one day, and I get in my car, and I think about it, and she'd drive, and I'd just lay back, and I'd cry. And she said, get out of this. She said, God knows how you feel. And I told my wife, and I told God, because this person I really loved, and I just couldn't believe this happened. But they put me aside because they were trying to get at this person, and that person was trying to get this person. And like I said, I was back and forth. And I told my wife, and I told God, you know, you say you know how we feel, but I think this time you have no idea how I feel. I said that to my wife, and I said that to God. And immediately, God responded. Here's what He said. He just said one word. One word. He said, whoa! I can tell you, the older I get, the better I was. Whew, okay. He said one word. When I said, God, you do not know. And my wife, she started to cry because I said that. And when I said, you don't know how I feel, God spoke one word. And everything turned around, started turning around from that day forward. He whispered in my ear, Judas. And when he whispered Judas in my ear, I said, you know more about how I feel than I know about how I feel. And I said, I'm sorry, God, that I ever doubted this. Forgive me. And I got reading Psalm 55 and got reading about his words were smoother than butter. And he was one of my companions and I wasn't expecting this, but it happened. And when I got reading that, and after he said Judas, I started to heal. And you know what? It took about a month, but within the month, I was back to my joyful self. And I was flourishing, and I'd even reach out to both of them. It didn't bother me anymore. And wound up, before long, the best of friends with both of them again. After God allowed me to go through that dark space, or that dark place, so I could understand Him better than I was trying to understand me. So I said, look, God's got this. He's big enough. He can. He's big enough, and He is here. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is here. Praise the Lamb of God. The antidote to worry is to make God your shepherd. Amen? Now that's, instead of praying, here's what I want you to do. I just feel it, and you do it the way you want to, but instead of just praying, here's what I want you to do. I want you, and if you can't stand, sit. But if you can stand, stand. I want you to stand, and however you want to do it, for the next few minutes, I just want you to tell God how much you love Him and that He is big enough and He's strong enough and He's got what it takes to meet your need. And I just want you to start thanking Him for it. Just thank Him and praise Him. Go ahead, stand up or sit down and raise your hands. But I want you right now to go ahead and start praising God and start thanking Him that He is big enough. He is strong enough. He is here. He does have the answer. Father, we love You, Lord. We praise Your name. Praise the Lamb of God. You're awesome. You've got what we need, God. You're more than enough. You're big enough. You're strong enough. You are here. We thank You, God. Father, don't let me doubt in the dark what You revealed to me in the light. God, You're awesome. You're awesome, God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. You know how we feel. You know what we're going through. Father, in the name of Jesus, You're awesome. Thank You, Father. Glory. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're awesome. I refuse to sit back and let the devil get glory. I'm going to stand and I'm going to boldly and proudly proclaim that You are Lord and that You're more than enough. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Glory. Thank You, God. I thank You, God, You've got the answer to every person's problem in here, Lord. Father, You're able, Lord, to touch our knees. You're able to touch backs. You're able to touch it all, Father. I know, Lord, You're more than able, God, to touch hips right now, Father. You're more than able, God, to touch arms, Lord. You can touch Sister Dorothy, Lord, in the name of Jesus. You can touch Daniel right now in the name of Jesus. You're more than enough. Praise the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, come on and give Him a hand clap. Come on. He's more than enough. Thank You, Father. Now remember this, here's what I want you to do. I want you to practice all the time. This is good for you. I want you, look, when you feel yourself getting down, you feel yourself, look, you know, people start doing it, they start bending all over and they're feeling down. I've been practicing this hard lately. Where's Lois? Yes. I'm not going to fall over trying to show you, though. I want you to breathe in through, square your shoulders back, breathe in through your nose, and breathe out through your mouth. Watch this, watch this, watch this. This is good stuff. God invented this, not us. Watch it. Glory. God is more than enough. Why are you cast down on my soul? You're more than enough. Thank You, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. You know what? You find a little spring in you still. Amen. You think James Brown can get down. Whew. All right, Sunday morning. Okay. Let's pray for Brad's mama. When we're getting ready to dismiss, we're going to pray for Brad's mama. And what we're going to do, we're going to trust God to take care of it, aren't we? Is there anything? Have you found anything you couldn't take care of yet? Okay, that'll work too. Amen. He said, come boldly to the throne. You just did that. No, you did good. Nope, you did good. You did wonderful. Amen. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we're not going to look to the left, we're not going to look to the right, we're going to look straight ahead, Father. We're going to trust you to do what you said you would do, Father. You are more than enough, you're big enough, you're there. I thank you, God. I ask you, Lord, touch Joan right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is she's having done tomorrow, Lord, we know you're going to be there, and you're big enough and strong enough to take care of her, Lord, and to touch her family and lift them up and to strengthen them. Father, there's no way we can express just how powerful and how strong and how loving you are. I ask you right now, Father, to touch and anoint, Lord, my sister, Lord, and touch these people here tonight, Lord. Help us all, Lord, tomorrow, even tonight, Lord, when Satan tries to get us to worry, to cast it away, just to cast it away. Help us diffuse it and just keep on going in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, like that old mule, shake it off and keep on going. Shake it off and step up in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. Sunday morning is homecoming. And those guys that were here last time that were so good, I can't say they got together just for us, but they're having doing it a lot together because the tenor singer that was so good, the guy that had that real high voice, his brother's been sick and he's been taking care of his brother. But they've been getting together more lately, and when they found out this place wanted if they'd come, yeah, they said it's one of the best places they've ever been. Let it rip, bro.